And another thing, you're listening to KPCRadio.com. I'm James.
I'm Robert.
And this is the last show of the season. How do you feel about that?
Tears.
Tears.
A lot of tears.
I was hoping you would say, oh, grateful. I can't stand it anymore in here. Yeah, because we're actually locked in here all week. I don't know if the audience knows that. We're here all the time.
You're not supposed to say that.
they whip us into the booth every week to do the show. No, okay, so we're going to try and make this a semi-serious show because it's the last episode, because I know no one's really listening. They're all studying for their exams anyway, right, which is what we should probably be doing. So we're going to talk about a subject we both love, which is philosophy. We met in the philosophy club.
Yep.
He didn't talk much, and unsurprisingly, I talked a lot.
Yeah, you did. I like to listen to people.
So we're going to talk about the basics of philosophy. I'm not going to just start diving into Nietzsche versus Kierkegaard or something crazy like that no one gets. I want to talk about the actual purpose of philosophy and how, unbeknownst to most people, everyone is a philosopher. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with Carl Sagan, right?
Yes.
People like Neil deGrasse Tyson. These science popularizers, they like to use the notion that we are all born scientists because we're all born curious. We're taking things apart. We want to know how things work. And I think it actually goes a step beyond that. I think we're all born philosophers because let me put my definition out there, what philosopher versus scientist is, because this is where we're going to really be spending most of our time. Because a philosopher is someone who asks the question. There's someone who's, oh, how does this work? What are the implications of this? What does this mean? Whereas a scientist is a type of philosopher who says, well, that's a good question. Let's figure it out. And then the science takes over for figuring it out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They're the how.
Yeah, that's good. They're the how, whereas the philosopher is like the why or the what.
Or what constitutes this, mm-hmm. what leads to that. Yeah, it's a mix.
So we're all born philosophers because we're all born wanting to know what's going on, whether it's how is mommy or daddy disappearing when they cover their eyes like that, you know, and then peekaboo, because that's actually been shown that babies think they actually disappear.
Really?
Yeah. There's a whole section of neurobiology on that. That's pretty cool. And that's, I mean, that's right there. You know, the baby's like, what's going on here? And they want to know. And I just scraped the microphone again. I got to stop doing that.
It's okay.
So why is that happening? All right. So we're all born that way. And I would say that some cultures beat that out of us, which is what Carl Sagan or Tyson would say about scientism, is that the scientist is beaten out of the kid. You know, don't break that. Don't ask the questions.
That's the big one. That's right, the biggest one. Don't ask the question.
If you're asking, that's, you know, blasphemy or disobedience.
Or they say, it's common sense. Why are you asking that question? And then in philosophy, our school of thought is that common sense isn't really so common when you break it down.
It doesn't exist at all.
Yeah. When you break it down, it doesn't even exist. But when you do that to kids, they start shying away from asking smart questions.
Right.
So.
And that's funny, smart questions. Do you think it's true there's no such thing as a dumb question? Because I think there are some dumb questions.
No, there is a dumb question, but I'm happy that I've been willing to ask them for years. So I'll take the brunt of that.
Okay. So versus science, I wanted to bring that up because recently some scientists that I follow on YouTube and Twitter and things like that, they would say, like Stephen Hawking is one most people know about, Lawrence Krauss a little less so. They would say philosophy is dead. That's something Stephen Hawking put in the preface to his, well, second-to-last book. He said it right there in black and white. Philosophy is dead. Lawrence Krauss says that philosophy hasn't progressed in 2,000 years. And Richard Carrier, who is a philosopher, undoubtedly, because I'm using him to defend, and also a historian, recently did a video, a lecture, at Skepticon, which is for skeptical-type things, and he defended philosophy against these accusations with basically his lecture is titled Is Philosophy Stupid? And he goes on to point out that philosophy does things that science doesn't, and moreover that science is a subdivision of philosophy itself. And he was doing the Aristotle type philosophy where philosophy is everything. It's physics, which means all natural philosophy. It's epistemology. It's logic. All that is philosophy, and science is in there in the physics part. Physics not being just physics, but all natural biology, because that's what it was called back then in his time, 2,500 years ago. Physics meant, you know, biology and botany, astronomy, all that stuff was considered physics.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, all those different types of fields later branched out and got their own subdivision. But right then, back then, it was all just one thing. And funny enough, let me mention this in there. Scientist wasn't even really a word until 100 years ago. Did you know that?
No. Really?
It was that you'll like this because we talked about science and art.
Sure.
Because scientist is a word that came about for to describe someone who does science, just like artist is a word that describes someone who makes art.
Right. Okay. That
because
makes sense.
We've all heard natural philosopher before. Darwin was a natural philosopher. Right. Isaac Newton was a natural philosopher. All scientists, quote, were from Aristotle up until the late 1880s, 1890s, were considered natural philosophers. And then the term scientist was created to kind of force that break between philosophy and science. And today we have all these remnants still because I'm going to be trying to get my PhD. I don't know if you are, but I'm sure you know what PhD means.
Right. Doctor of Philosophy.
There you go. Doctor of Philosophy, as opposed to a Doctor of Medicine, for example. And I don't think there are any other doctorates, are there?
I'm not sure.
Philosophy and medicine, right?
I wouldn't be a good source.
No, me neither, apparently, because I don't know. But that's why we're in college, right? To figure this stuff out. Okay, so let me ask you for your personal opinion. I know you hate giving your personal opinion.
No, I like giving my opinion.
Do you think calling science a subset of philosophy is a good thing?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I've always, well, I think in the recent years, I don't want to say always, it's just a hyperbolic state. But I've come to think of philosophy as, on the practical level, as a system of checks and balances.
System of checks and balances.
I felt like philosophy is something that you always have to go through before you come to your final conclusion. Does A constitute B? Even if you're doing a scientific experiment, and you do statistics on it, somebody has to then come out and say, do those statistics necessarily show exactly what you're saying they show? And I feel like that is reasoning. And that's why you should be prideful as a scientist to come up from philosophy, because it is reason. It emphasizes reason. And I think it's a good thing to say it's a subdivision. It comes from that root, which is what I think is a system of checks and balances.
That's a good point. I like the phrase checks and balances there, because we can always talk about politics on this show.
Right.
I love talking about politics. Right. The reason I like to not separate them, but make one a subdivision of the other, is because I think it allows, I hate to use the phrase layman, it sounds kind of arrogant, but people who are not scientists to use philosophy in their everyday lives. And people are going to say, that's, you know, we get those. We talked about philosophy once on this show before, how people say, oh, you're a philosophy major. What does that mean? You're going to be serving me McDonald's or something?
Yeah, like that. I always make that joke about myself, too.
Right. So people think philosophy is kind of like Stephen Hawking, is dead, is useless, is kind of just elitist mumbo jumbo. Oh, you're dissecting what this one concept means. That's not going to help me pay the bills. Where I think it's the exact opposite, where everyone needs to do an amount of philosophy, which is what you were talking about, is basically just reasoning in your thought. You should know what you're saying. Maybe not just before you say, maybe after you say, you think about it a little, but you should be able to take what you're saying and what you're thinking and look at the real world and say, does it match up? Because a lot of times, it doesn't match up. People say stupid stuff. And this is where I think philosophy...
Often they say it. I mean, especially often. On the airwaves.
Yes, yes. I'm doing that all the time. I'm saying stupid stuff.
And I think you and I are guilty.
And then afterwards, someone says, you said something stupid on there. And philosophy, or not philosophy, would be, oh, I said whatever I said and it was right because I said it. Philosophy would be, ooh, did I really say that? That was dumb.
Yeah, oops. Sorry, guys.
Sometimes I do.
My reasoning was poor that day.
Except when it comes to the movies, because if I say it, then it is.
Oh, of course. Hands down.
But that's art, not philosophy. So. But there's a philosophy of art, but
aesthetics.
We won't get into that. Yeah, we won't get into that.
Okay.
Where was I going with that? You derailed me.
Oh, you were just making a point about science being a subdivision. Maybe are you trying to suggest people are too prideful about science trying to separate itself?
There's two ways philosophy as a field is attacked, and it's one, it's by the scientists. That sounds really weird, the scientists. I hate when people put the in some of the atheist, the Christian.
Right.
That sounds so, it just reminds me of Hitler's the Jews.
You know? Oh, no, I know.
But scientists in general, let's say it that way, they decry against philosophy because there's no empiricism in it. They'll just say stuff without checking, which sometimes happen. And then people who are not scientists and not philosophers will hate philosophy for the almost opposite reason, whereas philosophers come off as elitist and, you know, looking down on people.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
It's a mistake twice. One, because that's not really what philosophy is, and two, because some philosophers do that, And that's bad.
That's bad.
Bad philosophy. That's the complete opposite point of what philosophy should be.
I feel like by virtue of having studied philosophy, you should be pretty aware of your own BS.
You should
not be afraid to put an argument out there, have it torn to pieces, and be like, you know what? The other guy made a good point.
Yeah, you should be able to admit that, because when you admit you're wrong, well, that just gives you more area to grow, right?
I would say so. Unfortunately, in this society, false confidence seems to go a longer way.
Well, I don't know if it was a joke or I don't know how they could measure this statistic, but I remember reading teenagers in the United States are like worst in math and science, but they're number one in confidence.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know if you can measure that. That is hilarious. But it's a funny joke because I think it was probably during a YouTube video I saw, you know, because it's showing how their math scores stink, and then there was one kid who like, and what their confidence is number one. It's him jumping off a roof on a bike or something, and everyone's screaming, "Yay!"
That's funny.
And then spring break, they're all they all think they're number one when they're not.
But you know what? A quick point to that. Yeah. One of the best things one of my philosophy professors on this campus said. Mm. He said when we were writing an essay for him, it was like an analytical essay for comparing philosophical ideas. And he said to one of the students, I overheard him when he was grading, he's like, look, worst case scenario on this paper, you're wrong. It's okay. He's like, you're wrong. Somebody poses a better argument than you did. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Just take it, learn from it. And I guarantee you, he's like, you're probably going to understand why you made that mistake after this. Mm-hmm. And the student looked so relieved. And they had a bad grade on that essay, but they looked so happy because, like, wow, that was the best remark I could have ever received from a professor.
Right.
So,
and that's something that's not really allowed in modern, I don't know if academia, but definitely education, is that it's okay to be wrong. Scientists know that because it's almost good when a scientist is wrong.
Right.
Like the search for the Higgs boson, which was popularized this year and last, is that if they found it, that'd be great because then the hypothesis is confirmed and we can move on and study other things. But if it wasn't found and something else was there, well, that would be great too because now we get to study that. So people like to say, oh, Einstein, he threw off Newton's theory, so Newton was completely wrong. Well, Newton wasn't completely wrong. Einstein just showed one part where he wasn't accurate, and that was great. Newton himself would have said, that's amazing.
Yeah.
He would have loved to have studied that. Scientists kind of like to be wrong because it shows them where to go.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in philosophy. Like you were saying, that professor said, the point is in the argument and the point is to find out where you're wrong because then you could find out the truth.
Yeah.
And that's not really allowed in education. I guess I'll rant a little bit on education because, well, we're coming towards finals. I did my transfer applications to the universities. You've already gone through that crap.
Yeah.
And I'll just do the tweet of the week right now because
it's
so on top.
Wow, this is
the tweet of the week was, too often we're shown that American education is adversarial instead of educational.
It's,
I feel like I'm fighting the system most of the time instead of being helped along to learn something.
I agree with that. I know exactly what you mean.
And on a separate rant, the University of California, which I learned, is supposed to be a public school. I mean, it is a public, quote, school. But it was made for the explicit purpose of giving the lower class people, but, you know, people who wouldn't have an opportunity to go to private schools so that everyone in California has access to this. And that's kind of where the California state system seems to be right now. And UCs seem to be very elitist, to use that term again. They don't want people in there. And it's freaking me out because I think of all these mistakes I've made in the past. And I'm freaking out over my grades this semester because if I get, oh my God, what if I get a C?
Because
I'm missing some classes because of the health issues and stuff. I feel like I'm not allowed to make a mistake. Like they'll see a mistake. Oh, he got a C in this? Who cares why? Just throw his application out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that's foolish. That is foolish on their part.
Right. And more foolish is that if I do make a mistake, I'm not really allowed to correct it. If I get a B or a C, you know, that's your grade. It's like branded into your forehead.
Right.
If you get, I think it's a D or an F, you're allowed to retake the class and they will expunge the first grade. Is that correct? I don't know if you know.
I don't know. I think you can make up a grade, but usually if you fail or get a D.
Yeah.
But if you get a C or
not a C, it's just a D or an
I
F,
think
you can
it's
do
though,
it.
Yeah. I think it's anything along those
but
lines.
But a B or a C, it's like, well, that's your grade forever and ever. I mean, maybe Stephen Hawking got a C at one point, and I doubt it. He can do like advanced calculus in his head. But if someone like that got a C, you don't know where they're going to go in the future. So I feel like I'm literally not allowed to make mistakes in my education, which is sad because, first, as a person, I am a trial and error person, which really drove some people nuts in my career as a programmer. They'd say, "How do you know this code is going to work?" I don't know. I just hit run and find out. And they go, "Oh my god, how did you?"
Yeah, they want you to be more analytical.
You should have tested that a little bit more. The hell, they just run it. Beep.
Some of the best things come from trial and error.
I know. I mean, obviously, it's not the best for everything. I mean, like trial and error for human flight. There are so many stories of someone strapping wings to their back and jumping off a building.
Or you don't want to do trial and error on an operating table either.
That's a good point.
You don't want to do
the
that.
Cadavers and things for that.
Yeah.
Not good for everything.
Yeah.
Math class, almost perfect for.
You Absolutely.
Should be allowed to do as much trial and error as you need in a math class, as far as I'm concerned.
I totally agree with that.
But all I get is three exams, and, oh, you didn't know what it was before the exam? Well, I'm not really going to help you after the exam either. Suck on that. Here's the final. And it's like, wait a minute. The objective here was to learn math, not to be shown how much of an idiot I am. I get that I'm an idiot. That's kind of why I'm in school, right? I came to the school to learn this. And I'm just – now, some teachers are really good. They have the office hours, and that's what makes a good teacher. But even then, you feel like that's not really what their job is. They're doing that extra stuff
right.
for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times – and this is me maybe being cynical. Someone will say, oh, this teacher is a great teacher. He sat down with me, and he showed me how to do it. And I think, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a good teacher in this system, but isn't that what they're all supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, technically speaking, that's part of the job.
And I'm scared to death to get to university because I know that you never see a, quote, teacher. It's always the TAs that you
Yeah,
actually
you barely
learn.
See – my brother went through that UC system, and
yeah.
he's like, you barely get to even
right.
interact with your
so
professors.
So I look forward to ranting about that. But, hey, I'm already in the university by that point, right? So I can make all the mistakes
yeah,
I want.
You can, I mean – but I do want to – that was a good point, by the way, about math.
Mm-hmm.
I think philosophy, the best thing it did for me was allow me to make all of those mistakes. Yeah. I mean, I would get papers reasoning charts back, and professor would have like reds everywhere, red markings, like fallacy, 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 fallacy. And I was like, that's wonderful because I am learning how not to make stupid arguments.
Right.
I'm learning how to utilize these skills now because you took the time and said, here is why this is not good.
Mm-hmm. Need so, that feedback.
Yeah. And I still don't think I've gotten enough of it. That's how it was, but that's how exciting it was for me to go through that.
So how does all this apply to regular day-to-day life? And the first thing that comes to mind, because it's me and it's my show, is politics.
Right.
Now, a lot of times people will say, oh, I'm a political science major. I go, you're not a science major, son. You're a philosophy major. There's nothing scientific about what politicians do. But now talking about the checks and balances and the reasoning and corresponding what you think to reality, I don't even know if I want to call political philosophy anymore. It's pretty much just rhetoric. Which is the word most people use. They know what rhetoric means. It means speeches that the politicians will go on to sound great when they're not really saying anything at all. But that's why rhetoric was so opposed, was opposed by many philosophers who started philosophy, like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. They didn't like rhetoric. They wanted people to know what they're talking about and for it to be the actual truth. Whereas rhetoric is saying what you say fervently enough to make it true, to make it seem like it's true. Like Obamacare is going to make all gays get married and we're turning to goats. And, you know,
straw man.
That's obviously a little hyperbolic, which is a good word you used earlier. I like it. But it's maybe I should use a regular, not really use a fake argument. But you know what I'm talking about.
They
say
I know
stuff
what you
that doesn't make any sense. But they think they say it enough, it becomes true. And unfortunately,
it does for the people.
That's actually my point exactly. Because it's an unphilosophical audience who doesn't really have the tools. I don't say intelligence because everyone can do it. But they haven't been taught how to dissect arguments and see whether or not it's true or not. They just believe it. They eat it up. And this is both on the left and the right. Remember, I railed against the left a few weeks ago on
the
anti-vax stuff.
But I just – something about that. The best thing that happened on political TV – McCain and Obama during their debates, a lady stands up in the audience during a McCain rally and says, Obama, I don't like him. He's an Arab. And McCain rips the mic out of her hand and said, no,
yeah, no,
no, no,
you're not doing
no,
that.
No, he's not. Stop it.
Right.
That was the best thing he could have done.
That was because was a little bit of old McCain from 10 years ago coming out in the stupid repackaged conservative McCain that they made him for the
election.
No,
right, but the fact that he
was always like that. I always loved him for
that. He took it away and said, no, we're not going to tolerate this kind of thought here.
Yeah.
And he didn't say, ma'am, please continue. No, he took the mic away.
Yeah.
And I think that was big. So... But continue.
Then he went on to hire Sarah Palin. So.
I know, but that's the kind of people you deal with. And if you say things enough, you'll get those types of people yelling things like Obama this.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was saying. Sarah Palin.
No reasoning
behind it. Is his opposite because she still does that today. She still goes on Fox and says, God gave me a pulpit on Fox News, and Obamacare is ruining the country and stuff like. She still does that, and she says. There's one thing, I think The Daily Show did it, because they do everything that's good in journalism these days.
Yeah.
They did it might have been Stephen Colbert, too. Maybe I'll try to find this clip. But basically what it was is a clip of the last few years of different news stations, like local news stations around the country, saying the exact same phrases over and over and over again, because they were just given a massive script. And it wasn't just Fox News across the country. It was Fox, it was CNN, it was ABC. They would say literally the same exact phrases to open all their segments. I got to find it. It's both funny and disturbing.
Oh, all right. That's good. I want to see that.
Yeah, so politics sucks, but everyone knows that, right? But do you think... So I say to a general audience, you should learn philosophy because then you would be able to learn politics. And they say philosophy is stupid and it doesn't do anything. How do you think we can convince people to learn basic reasoning?
You know what philosophy does for you, especially in a political context?
What's that?
Stops you from having these stupid party allegiances.
That's a good point, too.
If somebody puts an issue on the table, you don't see it with red eyes or blue eyes. You say, wait a minute, does this issue actually make sense? Does it contribute to good things, bad things, before you choose a side? And I think that's the biggest thing you can do as a society, especially now when people are getting tired of this party nonsense.
So instead of maybe my question was, how do we get people to understand philosophy and then apply that to politics? Could maybe we could just show them how politics sucks today.
Yeah.
I mean, the government was shut down. We did a whole episode on it. So I think that the funny thing is that the government, being corrupt as it is kind of pushing people towards that philosophy-type mindset.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me check this out. But still, we can attack it from the other way and start pushing people towards philosophy on our own. But how do we do that? Do you think there's a way we could do that, aside from just saying, well, they got to go to college and take an intro philosophy course? Because that's assuming they already have an interest in it.
You know what? It's individual. You just have to choose. When I entered this school years ago, when I entered this school in 2006, I wasn't ready for it. In 2009, I was. For some reason, that year, I was ready to delve into it.
That just sucks, doesn't it?
I
hate to say it's easy to make science seem popular. I mean, it takes a lot of effort on like Bill Nye and Richard Dawkins and Neil deGrasse Tyson to really try to get science interesting. But you show something exploding and then you say there's chemistry behind it.
People are all over it.
At least a few people say, that's pretty cool. I mean, because you have stuff exploding and you have space shuttles and you have going to the moon and you have going to the bottom of the ocean.
And then you have Breaking Bad.
And then you have Breaking Bad. Science is its own PR, really, whereas philosophy is almost its own negative PR.
Yeah.
So I cannot think of any way to get philosophy to look popular except through argumentation in politics.
Yeah. Most applicable. And maybe through the legal system. Is just because something is legal, is that the moral thing to do? I think that was one of the biggest questions for me. Blew my mind. I was like, wow, I never thought of it that way.
That's all wrapped up in the politics, right?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to get marijuana legalized and all other gay marriage, get that legalized. And so that's wrapped up completely with the politics, because some people say, oh, it's illegal because it's illegal. Well, that doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah.
And so why is it illegal and should it be illegal? I mean, so again, that's what I'm trying to say. People are philosophers. And you meet any activist at all, whether it's a feminist or someone who's for Obamacare, someone who's for gay marriage, they're philosophers. They're trying to get their idea across and convince other people that they're right. That is philosophy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the best way I can try to get philosophy interesting, is by never actually using the word philosophy.
Well,
just using the words argumentation and legality,
There is a 50-50 chance you will win.
Yeah, well, that's horrible. If you're doing philosophy,
no,
right,
I know.
You should win right away.
I'm just kidding.
All right, we're running out of time. It's been a great season. Thank you for joining me this season, Robert.
Thank you. This has been really fun.
Hopefully we'll be able to get to do it next season.
Absolutely.
Also, is there anything you want to say before we sign off for the season? Head out to do our freaking exams.
I'm going to say this. Think about this over the winter break. What is and what ought to be?
What? That's very deep words.
What? Think about the difference between those things, because that has been a conflict for me for the last 10 years of my life. So what is and what ought to be, I think. That's how I'd like to end.
Learn the distinction.
Yep.
My piece of advice would be just don't jump in front of a bus, because sometimes I feel like
I think
like
that's
doing
better
that.
Advice.
I feel like doing that, but I'd like to say it gets better, but the, I don't know, the jury's out on that one too. But hey, just keep going. Keep on punching. That's always my advice.
Keep on punching as opposed to keep on trucking.
Well, yeah, trucking is stupid. Punching is cool. All right, I'm James.
I'm Robert.
You're listening to KPCRadio.com. Thanks. See you next season.